It's time for another list of predictions that we can tear apart.
Yay.
Today, the top 10 commercial real estate predictions for 2021. I know we're halfway through the year already, so let's just see how accurate these really have been so far. I'm your host, Jan Gibbons.
And I'm Bob Gibbons.
That's today on the Confessions of a Recovering Landlord podcast. I love tearing into these crystal ball projections to see what I agree with or not. A law firm in California, Allen Matkins, conducts an annual forecast event and publishes the top trends for the coming year, according to CRE experts. The list we'll discuss today was created in November 2020, about 8 or 9 months ago. How much do you think will look brilliant in hindsight versus what will look really stupid? Oh, and by the way, shout out to the tenant advocate, Benjamin Osgood, for posting this on Twitter. Let's dive in. Number one, rapid but uneven market recovery. Okay, that kind of sounds like when you go to the psychic and they say you were born in... Okay. They predicted that the recovery has not and will not be uniform. Shocking. He went out on a limb here. Winners will include logistics, data centers, life science, etc., while losers will be retail, hospitality, and commodity office.
I actually agree with him on this prediction. I mean, how can you lose when you say it'll be uneven? But this has certainly played out in 2021 so far. I would also say that medical has been a winner. Mm-hmm. It was a loser kind of early on in COVID, but I think it's come out okay. It appears to be recovering quickly. Overall, though, you know, the World Bank increased its prediction of global, not just U.S., but global economic growth from 5.5% in January to 6% in May, which doesn't sound like a big change, but you think about what is half a percent of economic growth, GDP, in the world. That's a huge number. But, you know, there's going to be huge discrepancies from one region to the next. From one country to the next. I mean, within one region, I mean, Europe is not going to perform the same way as the U.S. or South America.
Hey, state to state.
Exactly.
Number two, COVID-19 will bring a widespread expansion of office touchless technology.
Don't touch me. Can't touch that.
Retrofit to these systems was expected to occur soon, from automated lighting, sinks, toilets, and elevators to possibly employees having chips or key cards that will activate a lot of their working life. Reminds me of the story about Bill Gates when he built that home in Seattle, mm-hmm. about how each member of the family had a lapel pin that would adjust the lighting, AC, heat, music, etc., to the wearer's preference. I always thought it would be funny if two or more of them walked into a room simultaneously. And I guess probably the lapel had gradations. Bill trumped everyone.
Probably. For a while, anyway.
Right. I guess you have to live there for it to work.
There may have been times when Melinda's trumped his, but not any longer. Well, I'm sure this prediction is occurring. But honestly, I'm not seeing much of it in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, at least.
I've seen some, but not a lot.
Well, I mean, people have talked about it, and a lot of this was happening anyway before COVID hit. I'm just not seeing a rush of new devices in office buildings. For the most part, I'm seeing office buildings sort of looking the way they did, at least the ones I'm touring clients through.
Number three, employee office culture will return. The prediction said culture would help drive the return of the office. Building culture, commodity, mentorship, and apprenticeship occur in the office. They did allow for some hybrid of office and work from home workers.
That would have been community, not commodity, but whatever.
Hey, I think you're building a commodity when you're in the community.
You know, I'm not sure this prediction is coming true on a wide scale basis yet. I mean, some companies are finding that employees are revolting when they're told they must come back to the office.
Or come back only if inoculated.
Or only certain days of the week. And, you know, some surveys that I've seen have said that 40% of employees are looking for new jobs. And the ability to work from home is one of the reasons high on their list as to why they're looking for the new job. So I think the better prediction here is that culture is going to be redefined and changed for most companies, and we still don't know how that's going to shake out.
Number four, the office of the future will prioritize collaboration. They predicted the office of the future will move away from dedicated workspaces and evolve into much more of a living room setting, which will free up space for collaborative work to occur. I particularly like the idea of outdoor workspace. You can work together, have lunch, go for a walk, slip off, do something else. Should lead to a better employee, I think, just because, first of all, they're outside. And I think that's got to be healthier for you. But it just gives them that feeling of options.
Well, and I think a lot of that's going to depend on the time of year.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, we're talking Dallas here
August
in August.
August in Dallas, probably
that better
not.
Be a dang short meeting. I'm seeing evidence of this idea in the office, only being for collaboration. I mean, we have clients that have, you know, given their space up for sublease. Some have said, hey, if you find somebody who will lease the back office area where, like, we have our cubes and our offices, and we can keep our conference rooms and our kitchen for employee meetings, client
interviews.
Meetings. They would love that. But I haven't seen one yet who has really totally gone to this, where they basically just keep collaborative space only and everybody else works from home or from a co-working or whatever. So, you know, while I haven't personally seen that in our clients yet, I do think this is a real thing and will be coming over time.
Number five, global capital is still looking to invest in the U.S. The prediction is that the U.S. will continue to be a safe haven for capital, especially from Europe, Asia, and Australia. In fact, Korean investments have tripled in the U.S. in the last year.
Wow.
I'm not wild about this, can I say? I know it helps keep a strong economy, but will we own our own stuff at the end of the day?
You know, there has always been a lot of foreign investment in U.S. properties. I remember back, man, I want to say it was the 90s, the big thing was Japanese. There's been a lot of German. There's been a ton of Canadian. I mean, you name it. You know, I'm not really bothered by this that much. I mean, the bigger area of concern for me is the selling off of infrastructure assets like ports or, you know, tollways. And I mean, anything that's going to give a foreign power the ability to tweak us when they want to affect our economy, to affect our security. I mean, you talk about a port, for example, that's going to affect commerce. It's going to affect our ability to get defense out to wherever it needs to be. That's where I'm more concerned. I'm not so concerned with them buying our office buildings or our, you know, shopping centers.
Well, I am. Thankfully, there's still me here. Number six, COVID is accelerating technology trends that were already occurring. One panel participant calls this the Great Acceleration. Technological advances were already occurring, but their extreme need is advancing production incredibly.
You know, I'm certainly no expert in this area, but I've heard of this applying to like distribution technology, where that's the whole supply chain is being affected through automation and deep learning. Online retailing, of course, has been a big shift. Not that it wasn't happening at all before, but it's just accelerated so much, which is what this whole one is about. Personal fitness, even, which I thought this one was interesting because, I mean, you think Peloton and all of their knockoffs. You're taking people that used to go to the gym now and...
But I'm in a class with all my friends and my favorite teacher in the comfort of my den.
Exactly.
My home gym. I love it.
And even telemedicine.
Ah, love that too.
Yeah. So, you know, it's even affecting the travel industry. While that sector has been hit hard, some enterprising people have started virtual travel services. I even signed us up for a live virtual walking tour of Verona, Italy next Saturday.
And it was so cool the way I found out by looking at my online banking and somebody spending money willy-nilly and not telling me.
Hey, when I'm not given an allowance to spend the way I want.
When you earn it, it won't be given.
Wow. All right.
You set that up. Number seven, leasing transactions continue to be extremely slow. Remember, this was November 2020, so everyone on the panel said the leasing activity had slowed and everyone was sitting on the sidelines waiting for vaccinations to be distributed. Treading water, one guy said.
You know, we've talked about this a lot. There is still a great deal of disagreement between landlords and tenant reps as to how hot or cold the market really is, especially when accounting for subleases. I still predict 2 to 4 years before all this shakes out and we really can look back and know how this all turned out.
Number 8, renewals will dominate the leasing market for the next year. It's basically the only game left.
Exactly. This one cracks me up. I mean, leases expire, so tenants have to do something. And so, you know, they can extend their lease, move, or shut down the office. I mean, a greater percentage than normal will just extend where they are and probably for shorter terms than normal. So, you know, we just negotiated a 5-year lease extension for a client that has always done 10-year leases in the past. And we added a right to give back a third of the space during the middle of the lease term if they want to. So
flexibility.
This whole thing about, you know, this being a prediction that renewals will dominate just is like, well, duh.
Just kind of like the Rangers will suck again next year. Some things are just don't need to be mentioned.
Next year?
Well, this year's over with as far as we're concerned.
Okay.
Number 9, construction is generally moving forward on schedule. The
choking?
Prediction is that projects already in process are moving ahead with few delays.
Actually, I agree with this. I mean, once a project starts, they pretty much have to finish it or go bankrupt.
But it's not on time.
Well, that's more a function of the availability of materials than anything.
And labor.
Well,
people
yeah,
can't
to
get
some
labor.
Extent. You know, the developer probably has some of the buildings pre-leased, so they have to go forward to honor those leases. But what has surprised me the most is that there have been announcements of new construction since post-COVID, I guess I should say. So, you know, if it's a build-to-suit where most or all of the building will be occupied by one tenant, that makes total sense to me. But I've actually heard of spec buildings being announced or ones with little pre-leasing saying that they're going to start anyway since, hey, it's going to take 18 to 24 months to build this thing. So by the time, you know, it's done, the world's going to be a better place.
That just must have been extra dry powder sitting on the sidelines that had to go somewhere.
I just can't imagine how anybody could have gotten that financed.
Right.
But, you know,
it had to be equity.
It'll be interesting to look back on this in that 18 to 24 months and see how that turned out.
Number 10, permitting challenges are widespread. A lot of city building departments are woefully short of technology and have had employees work from home. And the tax base may shrink.
You know, we've seen a lot of this in Dallas-Fort Worth. You know, it's hard to predict how long it's going to take to get a permit.
I've heard you actually say it takes almost as long to get the permit as to do the work in some cases.
You know, I have heard that in some situations. You know, I actually had a conversation with a client last week where we were talking about, hey, you better go to your current landlord and negotiate for 2 or 3 months extension because we're not going to make this date. Mm-hmm. And then I talked to the landlord leasing agent, and we're not having to do a lot of improvements to this space. It's basically carpet and paint and demo a few walls. And she's like, you know, I think we're going to be able to get away with just doing a demo permit, and we won't have to do a true full building permit. That should save us a ton of time. And so, you know, her argument was we are going to be able to make the date, and they shouldn't have to extend their lease. So we'll see. You know, I think this is starting to ease up a bit, and shouldn't be an ongoing problem long term because a lot of cities are bringing all their employees back into the office. So hopefully that'll happen soon.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Confessions of a Recovering Landlord podcast. At Rialta Commercial Realty, we exclusively serve companies that lease or purchase office and warehouse space. We never represent landlords. Find us at texastenantrep.com or give us a call at 972-677-0028.
Thanks for listening. See you next week.
Bye.